We're going to begin a series next week in the first letter of John. But this week, I'd just like to do one individual sermon on a passage from Micah. And as we come to our passage, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word brings us back to you, shows us truth, lights our path, shows us the way to life, Lord. And we pray that in this time that we have, your word would be preached in a way that honors you. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. So as we went through Christmas, I noticed as I was reading passages that the symbols of light and darkness kept coming up. You read during Christmas time, those walking in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus was the light that came into the world. And I started to think about that, and I started to think about darkness. And some people are going through dark times, maybe even right now as we speak. And as we come into the winter months, darkness actually has an effect on people, on their mind and their emotions. And as the days get shorter and it gets dark around 4:30 and it gets cold, it really does affect us emotionally. And I was thinking about this on Christmas. On Christmas night, the 25th, we drove to North Carolina. We got a really good deal on a place down there. And so we drove all night. We left at 6 in the evening, and we arrived at 8 in the morning. And we're driving through North Carolina as the sun was coming up, and we stopped and had breakfast. And by 10 o'clock, we were on the beach. And it was 65, and we walked on the... I know, you're all feeling like jealous right now. We were walking along the beach and picking up shells and playing catch with a football. And you couldn't do enough to wipe the smiles off our face because it was bright and it didn't get dark till 5:30 down there. Days were a little bit longer, definitely a lot warmer, but it affects your mood. And I think about what the Bible says and the Bible teaches about darkness and why darkness is used as a metaphor so often for evil and for sadness and for depression, just kind of closes in. And another thing that we noticed, and I don't know if you realize this, but people in New England are a little bit cynical. And if you've ever listened to talk radio around here, you just hear it just dripping through your radio. You can just hear it. And when we went down to North Carolina, we stopped at this place for breakfast, and the waitress comes over and says, you know, how y'all doing, all this stuff, and how can we help you, and things like that. And we met this woman on the beach, and we petted her dog, and she talked to us for about 10 minutes. And Bella said, why are people so nice here? And I said, I think it's called Southern hospitality. I think that's what it is. But there is darkness in our world. There's darkness in our country. There's darkness in our region. You know, we should all be like that all the time. There should be happiness and joy when we see other people. And as I was thinking about this too, I know that Christmas can be a dark season for people. There's grief and there's sorrow, there's remembering the past and all these different things. So here's the question. How do we come out of darkness? And darkness can take a lot of different forms. It can take the form of sadness and anxiety and stress. How do we come out of the darkness? Well, I want to read to you this passage in Micah chapter 7. And Israel is facing exile. They've sinned against God. There are other countries around them. The Assyrians are going to come in and take them into exile. The Babylonians are going to do the same. And in Micah chapter 7, this is what the prophet Micah says. What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have been swept from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. You know, could we say, let me just stop there. Can we say this today as you look at the news? People lying and waiting for blood? Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands gifts. The judge accepts bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright worse than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman has come, the day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion. Do not trust a neighbor, put no confidence in a friend. even with her who lies in your embrace. Be careful of your words. And then it goes on. It just talks about, this sounds like a real downer, right? Micah is just down. His country is down. His nation is down. He's in the midst of stress and anxiety. So what does he do with that? How does he get out of that? How does he come to the light? I want to skip down to verse 7. Here's what he says. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath until he pleads my case and establishes my right. He will bring me out into the light. I will see his justice. And as we look at that, I want you to see the first thing that Micah does. He makes a conscious choice to turn to God. The situation seems overwhelming, but he says, as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. He makes a conscious choice. I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm not going to let this situation overwhelm me. I'm going to go to God. That is the first step when you're in the darkness. Go to God. Sometimes the darkness overwhelms you and you get so stressed out, but you got to remember, God is in control. God is sovereign. God is powerful. Turn to Him. And He says something else in here. He says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. You know, whenever you're going through a tough time, there are people around you who will say to you things that bring you further down. There are people around you who will say hurtful things. And here's what I tell people when they come to me in times like that. I say, those people do not define you. Their words are not who you are. People can say whatever they want, but that is not who you are. You know who you are. More importantly, God knows who you are. And that is what matters, that you have a relationship with God. His words matter. Other people's words, they do not matter. So we're not going to care about our enemy gloating over us. And for Israel, their enemies were real. There are people from other countries that were trying to destroy them and trying to discredit God. And he says, I'm not going to listen to that. And he says, though I have fallen, I will rise. And he's not saying that in the sense of, I'm going to pick myself up by my own bootstraps and I'm going to think positive and the glass is half full and I'm just going to get there. I'm going to find a way. The reason that Micah is going to rise, it says, because the Lord will be my light. Though I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be my light. It's not just the power of positive thinking, which is good, by the way. You should think positively. But the reason you should think positively is because God is sovereign. God rules. And if you turn to Him, He will take you into the light. And here's what the Bible means when the Bible talks about light. Where's the first time in the Bible you see the word light used? Anyone? Genesis 1. He said, created the heavens and the earth, but the first individual thing it said God created, let there be light. And God saw the light, and He saw that it was good. Okay, so there's a couple things going on there. The light is about life, new creation, and it's about goodness. And you read later on in the Bible that light is about truth. So goodness, life, and truth. Because when you think about the darkness, when you're in a dark room and you don't know where you're going, you're just going to bump into things, right? You just walk around and bump into things because you don't know what's there. But when the light comes on, you see the truth of that room. You see what's in the room. When Jesus' light comes on, you see things as they are. And when you see things as they are, think about this. You have a sovereign God who is in control of the entire universe. And your problem all of a sudden looks a lot smaller in comparison to the love and the power of the Lord. He is our light. He takes us out of the darkness. So we turn to Him, and that's what happens. But people will say, well, I tried that, but it didn't work. Well, here's what I would say. You got to try it every day. Every day you got to reorient yourself to the Lord. Every day you got to get up. You got to go to Him. Look what His Word says, and you got to go to Him in prayer, and that's how you come to the light. That's how your eyes are open to what's actually in the room and what's actually going on around you. It's when we get up and we just hit the ground running and we go to work and we come home and we eat supper and we go to bed, without even thinking about the Lord, it's those days that the darkness just kind of gathers in around you. You forget about the light that's there. There's something else, though, that's very interesting that he says here in verse 9. He says, because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath. There's honesty in this, right? Micah recognizes part of this is my fault. He recognizes his own sin and he confesses it to the Lord. You know, sometimes there are things that happen to you that are out of your control. You know, illness or an accident or something happens that you have, there's no direct cause to you. You think about Jesus. Jesus had terrible things happen to him even though he never sinned. But sometimes bad things happen because there are consequences to our actions. We got to own our own sin in the situation. And sometimes our sin isn't, our bad situation becomes worse because we resent. We resent the people around us or we resent God. That's sin too. We got to confess that to the Lord. Lord, I've been resentful in this situation. Lord, I present all my sin to you. You got to own your sin. I confess it. But see what he does here? He doesn't confess his sin and he's not just completely destroyed by it and saying, oh, my sin is too big. I can't do anything. Look at the next verses. Until he pleads my case and upholds my cause. So here's how I want you to picture this. This is salvation, by the way. Verse 9 is about the salvation that Jesus offers. This is hundreds of years before Jesus walked the earth. But here's how it works. Imagine you standing there in the courtroom of God and you have God the Father on the throne and you are on the defense side and you have been accused of sin for which you know you are guilty. And you deserve God's wrath. But then someone comes to plead your case. Your advocate. Who is that? It's Jesus. Jesus gets in the middle of God's wrath. He takes all the wrath on him that belongs to us. He takes the wrath. And when God the Father looks at us, looks at you and me, instead of seeing sinful Dan Allen, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees his righteousness. So I'm set free from that. So it's one thing to own your sin, but you shouldn't be owned by your sin. And here's what I mean by that. Letting your sin and your guilt and your shame overtake you and say, I could never do anything. I've blown it again. God would never love me. God could never use me. No. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation, and it says anyone who's in Christ, there is no condemnation for people who are in Christ. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So yes, we confess our sin, we own it, but then we move on and we recognize Jesus died for those sins. So that now we can walk in the light and we can walk with Him and we can serve Him. And look how this section ends. He says, He will bring me out into the light. I will see His righteousness. The Lord's going to do this. You know, you can tell a person, you know, pick yourself up and do everything you can and try your hardest. And those are good things to tell a person. But a person can only go so far by themselves. You need the Lord to take you to the light. Jesus is the light. He said it. I am the light of the world. And as we talked about on Christmas Eve, we are all the light of the world. We are supposed to spread God's light, His truth, to everybody around us. So if you are going through a dark time, continue to turn to the Lord every day, every moment, because He is all about life, light, which is about life and goodness and truth. Turn to Him. And as you think about this, as I was thinking about this passage and I was thinking about the new year, I was thinking about a verse from Ephesians chapter 5, and it talks about how to live. And it says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We've been given a precious gift called life. And we aren't meant to walk through the darkness. We have the light of Christ in us. And that phrase, making the most of every opportunity, can also be translated redeeming the time. Every moment of every day is a gift from God to live for Him and to spread His light to everybody around us. So if you're in darkness, come to the Lord. He will take you to the light. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You are the light of the world. I thank you that you picked up Micah and that he rose above the challenges of his day. And Lord, I'm thankful that you pick us up, all of us. You draw us to yourself. You draw us to the truth. You draw us to goodness. You draw us to life. You draw us to your love. And pray that in everything that we do in every day of our lives, you would receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.